I don't know who looks at me in the mirror either. I wore glasses since fifth grade, and my face is naked. Had the second cataract surgery Thursday, and I'm making some adjustments on being able to read now. I now need readers since the glasses are gone, and Susan Shirey rescued me. She gave me her glasses. Now that's true love, isn't it? So thank you, Susan. This is a big week because your new pastor is going to be here on Thursday, and Jane's going to tell you something about that. I want y'all to come meet her on Thursday, so put that on your calendar. Everybody's invited. And today we're going to eat together. And all of you who are visitors, I spent the night in Roswell last night on the way back to Lubbock, and I went to my favorite Mexican food place, Cerritos, and I got a big pan of chicken enchiladas. So I have enough for you. Visitors, please stay to eat. We got you covered. And this is a generous church, and they have brought plenty too, so please come. And Lance, would you come? You've got some good news to share, and we'll go ahead and let Jane get started while Lance is coming.
Good morning. So glad to see all of your smiling faces this morning. Lance?
Already.
You're here.
This is exciting. I don't exactly know how to do this. Usually when I come up here, I'm letting you know that, you know, we're needing to get more emphasis on tithing and such, but this is fabulous news. We are this year, at this point in the year, up 48% over what we've had in the past last year. Woo-hoo! That's fabulous. That's all up to you. Thank you. And this is the best year that on the records I have going back to 2011. That was our last best year, and we're up 14% over that. So praise the Lord. Thank you all for what y'all are doing.
Thank you. Pat yourselves on the back. Come, lift up your hand.
Give Lance a hand for his good work, too.
Good.
You might notice that we have a different person up here, that Judy Gillette and Glenn are gone on vacation. And Kendra, stand up.
Hi.
Will be our song leader today, so y'all give her a nice welcome. Don't forget to register your attendance in the attendance pads, and also don't forget the blue slips in the back of the pews in case you have a prayer concern or a celebration. I do have a couple of announcements very quick. First of all, as Pastor Judy said, come meet our new pastor on Thursday for lunch at noon in the fellowship hall. If you will check with Linda Hines or Marilyn Herrig to see if they need any help, and let's all show up and give Pastor Francis a warm welcome this Thursday at noon. The other thing is that Judy, when she left us a little bit of homework here. On April the 29th is All Music Sunday, and the ushers are passing around, yes, thank you, Dave, for holding that up, a sign-up sheet for the songs that you would like to hear. She does this every year, so just jot down any hymns or anything that you would like for us to sing during that time. Are there any other announcements? Let us now prepare our hearts for worship.
Thank you.
Please rise as we sing together hymn number 381, Savior, Like a Shepherd, Lead Us.
Join me in the opening words printed in your bulletin. Shout with joy to the Lord. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him singing with joy. Know that the Lord is God.
He made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture.
Enter His gates with thanksgiving. Go into His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name.
For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and His faithfulness continues to each generation.
Remain standing. We will sing Faith We Sing, number 2270. It is I Will Enter His Gates.
I will enter His courts with praise. I will
Please join me now for the confession printed in your bulletin. God of light, we confess that we have gone astray and have left your light. We follow the dim lights of the world of success and fortune. We follow the dim lights that call us to be more religious by following rules. Forgive us for not following your truth. Forgive us for not following the ways of Jesus, who flat said to love one another. Make us hear your call to be bearers of love, compassion, kindness, and justice, in which the mystery of your love is revealed. In the name of Jesus the Messiah, we pray. Amen.
Sisters and brothers, our Lord Jesus Christ personally carried our sins in his body on the cross, so that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right. By his wounds you are healed. You have been found by your shepherd, the guardian and savior of your souls. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now let's have the children come down front, and everyone young at heart, we need you on the front row for Super Clown Sunday.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Before we begin our little skit, we would like to introduce our latest and cutest, because she's on the little side, our newest clown, who has just joined us, and this is Miss Bubbles. So please make sure that
our happy He washed my sins away. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. Oh, happy day. When Jesus washed. When Jesus washed. When my Jesus washed. He washed my sins away.
Thank you.
You may be seated. We forgot to mention that Heidi the heifer is up here, and I hear her tummy roaring. We forgot to feed her during the first hymn. So if you would like to feed Heidi the heifer with some change, this goes to the Heifer Project, which supplies breeding pairs of animals to all over the world to help change the economy in small poverty-stricken areas. And so Heidi will be available for feeding during the hymn following the sermon, okay? So I'll get excited because it's going to look like a whole bunch of people are coming up for an altar call. But it might be to feed Heidi, so take your pick, all right? Okay, I'm going to share the prayer needs. We've got a pile of them here this morning. Phyllis asks us to pray for MJ Daugherty and her family as she goes through treatment for lung cancer. So for MJ, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Dick and Mary remind us that Susan Zelaitis had a cardiac event this weekend and is in ICU down at Gerald Champion, expected to be there through Tuesday. They're keeping an eye on her. It was a mild thing, but significant enough that we know we need to watch people when they have something like that. So for Susan's care, healing, and all of those who are attending to her, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Chuck asks us to pray for Betty Thomas, who's in the hospital with pneumonia and a mild heart attack. For Betty Thomas, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Now, Lance and Leorla have a completely different kind of request today, and it comes via them from their son, Dalton. Da-da-da-da-dum. Dalton is in college. Dalton is facing a major chemical engineering test on Tuesday, and he's stressing big time and requests our prayers. So for Dalton, this young man who is preparing to be a chemical engineer, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. And Barbara Armstrong is going to begin the journey of cataract surgery this Tuesday. She asks for your prayers. So for Barbara, as she goes to Lubbock and has that surgery, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Renee Foreman asks us for prayers for her because on the 16th of April, she is going to have surgery. For Renee, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. I also want to bring to your attention Judy Hadfield, who is in the process of determining, she's been diagnosed with breast cancer, and in the next week, she will determine the course of events to follow. So, you know, that's a frightening time for Judy. And we just pray for wisdom and discernment for all of her doctors and for peace for Judy. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayers. Now, if you're like me, there's little things that are nagging in your heart that, I don't want to share out loud. So right now, we're going to bow our heads, and we're going to go to God in prayer, and we're going to pray for each other. And in the silence, I ask you to direct your attention to the people on either side of you, front and behind you, as you pray for them. Let us pray. Holy God, we come to you on behalf of our neighbors, both the neighbors here this morning that are sitting around us, our neighbors at home, the neighbors that we pass on the streets and in the stores as we go about the dailiness of our lives. Help us to be conduits of prayer for those that we see, that we come in eye contact with. Help our hearts to also connect as we become powerful prayers for a world that is hurting and alone and confused and lost. Lord, I pray for those who are in grief. I lift up to you all those who are facing tests and diagnoses and decisions and direction in their lives. Lord, I pray for those who are in conflict. I pray for those who are afraid. And now each of us are going to rest in you as we lay our concerns in the very heart of the Holy Spirit, who wafts them up into the heart of God. And now we pray as Jesus taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. What's so good about a good shepherd? It's important to ask yourself, just who is Jesus? And your answers to that question are important because they will color how you make a lot of decisions in your life. It will color how you interpret who Jesus is, what you think you can expect or hope for out of Jesus. So to ask yourself, who is Jesus, is a good question to ask. In today's reading, Jesus helps us a little bit by introducing himself as a shepherd. And he says, I am the good shepherd. Well, if somebody calls themselves the good shepherd, there must be something else out there other than good shepherds, right? I'm a good one. That one's a bad one. That one's a meh one. Well, let's look at John chapter 10 and listen to what Jesus is trying to teach us about himself. Beginning with verse 11, I am the good shepherd. Now, the good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and doesn't own the sheep. So when he sees a wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and he runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. The hired hand has no investment. I'm out of here. But Jesus says in verse 14, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep who aren't of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my own life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So, Jesus says in what we just read, when he says, I am these things. Now, the first thing he says, I am the good shepherd. He says he owns the sheep. So, he's not the hired help. He owns them. He's responsible for them. He has an investment of them. If something happens to the sheep, Jesus loses. So Jesus owns the sheep, and he's going to take the best care of them. It says that he cares for the sheep. Have any of y'all ever raised sheep? I have. And they take a lot of care. I mean, one little dumb lamb went down and got stuck in the mud by the pond. You had to pull it up out of the mud. They're not real bright. They need somebody hovering over them. When I lived on the farm, I contracted with a neighbor who had, hundreds and hundreds of sheep. And of course, in the midwinter is when those little lambs start dropping. Well, a lot of times the ewes won't take the lambs. Especially if she has twins, she'll ignore one of them. And so he would go through his fields, several times a day, looking for the little lambs lying in the grass. And he would give them to me. And I would raise them on the bottle. Now, I had intensive care pen. I had an intensive care pen, and I had a, well, you might make it pen. And they were bottle fed, and they were given antibiotics, and they had heat lamps on them. High care for these little ones. So I like that image of Jesus being the good shepherd who cares for the sheep, who's hovering over them and gives them everything that they need. It says also that Jesus knows the sheep by name and they know him. They go, oh, hi, Jesus. You know, they recognize him. And he also says he has other sheep. Now, this is an important thing for us to think of because this was originally written to those Jews. Remember last Sunday? All of the first Christians were Jews, all of them, 100% of them. So we can't blame the Jews for Jesus' death because all of the Christians were Jews. Okay, now the other thing we need to hear is Jesus saying today that there are other sheep. And that's the Gentiles that Jesus was about to send people like Peter and Paul out to bring in. And that's important for us because we inherited that good news from Jesus' concern about the other sheep. And he says those other sheep also know his voice and he's going to bring them in as well. So there. We are no longer outsiders. In fact, the Apostle Paul talked to that in one of his letters. Remember, you were once far off. You were once Gentiles. Once you didn't belong. But now you do. So that should wake us up a little bit to how we might treat those who don't belong, those who are different, those who are out there on the edges. We need to remember we were once those as well, and we are to bring them in just as we were brought in. But now a shepherd in this early centuries of our era was one whose job approval rating wasn't very high. It had evolved drastically over a period of time from the time of, say, Moses, who was a shepherd, David, who was a shepherd, and Ezekiel, who was a shepherd. Moses, remember, was a boulder whacking, stone tablets throwing, aggressive and emotionally volatile leader. That's one kind of shepherd. Here's another one, King David. Oh my. He was a conquering warmonger. He lived to go to war. He systematically hacked his way through the enemies in order to claim Palestine. And then Ezekiel. A bold and fiery prophet who delighted to point out all the false prophets and tell them that they were wrong. These are hardly the sweet Jesus with a little lamb in his arm picture that we see in nursery walls and in most religious art. Then there's the shepherd in the time of Christ. And we have a whole new stereotype, if you would, of what a shepherd is. The vocation of a shepherd had changed over the centuries. Very often, sheep owners lived in town, in the nice houses, and they hired folks to watch the sheep out on the Palestinian hillsides. Over time, the pay and the benefits fell. This ought to sound familiar, especially if you're a classroom teacher, right? Over time, the pay and the benefits fell to the point that by the time of Jesus, being a shepherd was one of the lowest vocations that you could engage. What often happens is that the quality of persons in the job can deteriorate when the value of the position falls. Now, this is important because of how the gospel writers tell us that it was the who that were the first visitors to baby Jesus? The shepherds, the lowest class, the most destitute, the most unappreciated, the most not having taken their monthly bath clowns. In the time of Jesus, the shepherds were hirelings, and they were noted for their dishonesty and their crass and rough natures. Everyone knew that in a crisis, a shepherd would abandon the sheep to protect themselves. This is what makes the story of Luke, with the shepherds being the only ones to visit baby Jesus, to be visited by the angels and then go honor the newborn baby Jesus, it would be important to ask yourself, what was the point that Luke was making by telling us, or what was the point that God was making by having the shepherds be those first visitors? The decline in shepherding was why, in today's gospel reading, Jesus qualifies the image of shepherd by saying he is a good shepherd. Kind of like you and I saying, oh, you guys, I found a good restaurant, or a good doctor, or a good place to get your hair cut. You know, differentiating from the run of the mill. Today's text is sandwiched by two stories. First, of the audacious, bold, challenging Jesus who had just dared to debate publicly the temple rulers on their own turf, and he called them blind. Like you fools, you just don't get it. Open your eyes, you're not seeing it. Not real complimentary terms. Plus, he contrasts them with himself by saying, I'm the good one. You bet those temple leaders were not amused. The second piece of the sandwich, the other piece of the bread, is the story of the full power of Jesus coming out and calabanga, Lazarus is raised from the dead. Now, calabanga is what's in the comic books, right? When something really huge happens. That was really pretty huge. So here's this story about Jesus saying that I'm the good shepherd, you know, taking on the temple authorities and raising Lazarus from the dead. That this shepherd is good should not lead us to assume, though, that he's meek and tame or unobjectionable in the way that so much Christian art and preaching might suggest. The namby-pamby, sweet Jesus, whose lap you can curl up in. Okay, we can do that. But we need to know about that strong and mighty and powerful and take on the systems Jesus as well. Now, there's one more uncomfortable piece of shepherd talk. You see, shepherds own their flock. Well, this in particular is not the description of a relationship that we here in the U.S. appreciate, given our history with slavery. The ownership description ought to trouble us to the point of squirming in our seats right now. Owned by Jesus? What does that mean? You see, this is about who we are, what we are about, and to whom we belong. It's a claim on us, and we are people who have been raised to resist ownership. Translated into our currently slavery-free culture as resistant to commitment of any form, whether commitment in relationships with each other or commitment to a church, much less commitment to God. You see, this Jesus relationship is no voluntary association. It's no fair weather friendship. It isn't a trump card to pull out every time we get in trouble. Sheep don't earn a shepherd. And for this good shepherd, there is nothing we can do to terminate the relationship. We can't stray or fall or fail in such a way as to be lost to God, ever. Because we belong to God, body and soul, in life and death. You see, the relationship between the shepherd and the sheep is about who the shepherd is rather than who we are. It's about who the shepherd is rather than who we are. How many of us are saddled with guilt or fear or striving to be perfect and do all this good because we're so afraid of who the shepherd is, and so we think we have to earn that relationship? We already have our papers. We're owned. This is all about who Jesus is. Lest we think of our belonging to Jesus makes easy the work of life or faith, or that the shepherd is in charge so the flock can enjoy an extended romp in the fields, consider Jesus' words, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me." To be Christ's own, to move through the moments of our days, to craft our speech or care for our families and friends or love all of our neighbors, or make choices about our economic lives as a people who know and are known by God, is neither comfortable nor without controversy. If the stories in Jesus' own biography are any indication. To make it just a tad bit more complicated, we who do understand ourselves to be in this owned relationship with the Good Shepherd must subject our self-importance and our vested interests to the life and flourishing of the community. Remember a sermon a few weeks ago about making decisions for the common good? We have to do that in a church life as well. Some people like to establish territories, and this is mine. Well, is that for the common good? Does that build up the whole body? So see, this life of being owned by Jesus has some implications that might cause us to consider some of our behaviors. In our own English language, there is no singular form for the word sheep. It's sheep, 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 singular or plural. We belong, we are bound up with the entire flock. We belong and are bound up with believers who break bread and recite prayers together, as well as with those sheep whom Jesus and God know, but whom we don't know yet. As well as with those sheep that we can scarcely stomach, acknowledging much less welcome them, live alongside them, or die to protect them. Those that are hard to love. To live subject to the community, we must make decisions for the common good. We must put the least of the community first and step aside for the outcasts. Now, challenge. Think about someone in our fellowship who maybe you don't know very well, who might be pretty new, or maybe they've been around a long time and you just keep overlooking them. How can you pull that one in? How can you pull the least, the outcast, the invisible, the ones in the shadows in? How can you set aside your own agendas to include others? I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd, Jesus says. He also says he owns and he keeps. That belonging to implies a lived response to the good shepherd who owns us. And if the stories in Jesus' own biography are an indicator, our lives won't be meek and mild, comfortable or without controversy. What a mighty, powerful, assertive, take issues on, protecting, feeding, nourishing shepherd our good shepherd is. Jesus. Amen. And you have heard the good news today. Thanks be to God. Now remember, Heidi's hungry, and I'm here if you need prayer. Let's sing together. Was when I was in high school. My brother raised sheep, and I was bottle feeding one of his orphans, and it was time to go on a road trip with the family, so I put my little lamb in a cardboard box in the back seat of the car and carried along with me the formula. Well, got to the gas station, and I was going to go in and get some hot water to put in the bottle and shake it up so the little lamb could have a warm formula. I get out of the car, and the little lamb follows. Where he leads me, I will follow. Followed right to the bathroom. Get to the bathroom door. Some lady was in there, waited for her to come out. She came out. She goes, "Oh, what a darling little poodle." So I'm this high school girl. You know, I'm supposed to be respectful, you know. And that poodle had hooves. It didn't have toenails. And I said, no, ma'am, this is a sheep. And she just like, and she ran to her car. The point being is sheep really do follow the shepherd. They really do. They don't take their eyes off the shepherd. Where he leads me, I will follow. And the one who owns you, who feeds you, who cares for you, every little nitpicky detail of your life, loves you and wants you to come follow me, because that shepherd's going to take you where it's safe. Now we're going to go eat together. A whole bunch of bad baying sheep. And we're going to eat some good food. So let's pray. Holy God, thank you for the meal we're about to eat. Thank you for this flock that you call your own. Thank you for loving them absolutely with every blemish and cucklebur in their wool. Thank you, God, for loving us. And now we thank you for the food we're going to eat and the fellowship time we're about to have. In the name of Jesus, amen. And they're going to want you to go through that door over there.